And they are operating not just in the grace of God in their life, but the grace of God on the person that prayed for them. There's an addition. It's a specific, it's a commissioning type situation. That is there. And we've seen that happen. But it is different from me being so afraid. Hey, man, pastor, pray for me. That no bad thing will happen. That's right. You hear me praying for people going anywhere. You almost never hear me ever say anything. How many of you have heard me use the word accident before? You almost never hear me say these things. There's no need to say it. Because if there's a covering over your head that is proper, before the accident touches you, you should touch. Don't things always start from the outer layer before they get to the inner one? So that is how, let me tell you how real coverings work. You see this phone. You know this is a covering. Then there's a back covering on the phone itself. Then this covering. Then let's say this is another covering. Before it reaches the main phone where the battery is, Abi will pass through here. Then it must pass through this one. Why are we discussing accidents if you're under proper covering here? Why are we discussing you as though you exist alone? You don't exist alone. You have layers. So for it to touch you, to have to touch it. That's why someone will have a dream or a vision or a revelation about you before something happens to you, even when you don't see it. Even if you're just slipping away your life or just doing anyhow. But someone that has a covering that you recognize a bit will experience, have a clue. And sometimes, do you know what happens? Like a phone falling to crack or something. It cracks only the outer one and never gets to the next level. Yes? That's how it's possible that someone lives and you want, sometimes you find yourself telling someone, how are you doing? So, did anything interesting happen 2 days ago? They say, no, nothing. I'm like, okay, it's well with you. Because they never even knew. They never even felt it. They never even considered that anything came their way. They don't know. They were sleeping. So an outer covering had the encounter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you understanding it? An outer covering had the encounter, and the inner covering never even felt it. That's natural for coverings. An outer covering may tear, but the inner one is still in place. God has not called us to be afraid. Covering should do their job without looking for accolades every second. Yes, the Bible tells you what to do with shepherds and those that have spiritual authority over you. It says you should honor them. And we've discussed some of this in the past. It says you should honor them, that you should esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. The one warning I'm giving is don't despise them and don't joke with them. You are not wise. You are very foolish when you despise your covering. Because stones thrown towards your direction will hit you first then. It's far better you had coverings. But you have your own covering. That's my point. It's not that you are coverless. Minus people. You have your own covering if you're walking in obedience with God. You have your own armor. But if you have your brethren around you, two are better than one. I hope you're still getting me. I'm not saying you must find some people act like I must have a covering every second. There may be a time when you're not in church. There may be a time when you go somewhere and you're praying, God, where should I worship? And it may take some weeks before you find a place. There may be. I'm not saying covering is like, in fact, I'm not even saying that the church where you worship is where you may even have a covering. I'm not saying that because some of those places have no covering for nobody. In fact, they use you as a covering. You land like this, they take you and build fence. Any wahala that hits is you that hits face first. If what I'm saying is not so, can someone explain to me that all over this country, people were saying recession and pastors were saying bring more money than you normally bring? Tell me, well, okay, maybe there's someone that has a revelation. Please share with me personally, because the things my ear hears, my eyes often do not see. In my heart of hearts, I don't believe it. But in my heart of my heart of my heart, that's the other level. It's true from experience. How can you take more offering when things are harder? Instead of going into the storehouse and bringing out to be sharing, people. Okay, this did not happen. No, none of you heard such a thing, right? Praise God. I hope you didn't hear. I hope you didn't hear this thing from my mouth. Pretend you didn't hear anything. Just pretend, please. Nothing happened. I didn't see it myself, so it's rumor. You're meant to be a covering. You have your own personal covering from God if you're obedient. Now, let me keep reading. Listen. Then I noticed black spots on the surface of some parts of the huge golden umbrella. That's overall. There were black spots. Then arrows started raining. Arrows. It could only pierce through the black spots. The arrows were diverse attacks of the enemy. But the arrows that could penetrate the umbrella was the attack called lust, sexual immorality, and pride. Lust, sexual immorality, and pride. Take note. It went straight through the sectioned canopy. Remember those canopies that were in sections? And it was only able to hit those who did not have their own mini umbrella on their head. Do you see? So if by any chance the arrow came through the large covering and went through the gap in the section, it would still not hit you if you had your own covering. Do you understand? But if you don't have your own covering, personal, I don't mean someone else now, which is your own relationship with God, then it could hit you. I heard that the black spots were the leader's sin of carelessness. So where the leaders are careless, and hear this now, leaders, so that when we are praying and repenting, you remember this. Carelessness, disobedience, what are the three things? Write it down, especially the leaders, take note. Carelessness, disobedience, sorry, what were the three arrows? Lust, sexual immorality, and pride. Those were the arrows. That's what the devil was firing at us. Some of you heard me say it here before the holidays fully started, or after the holidays. It was even on our forum. And we talked about lust, talked about sexual immorality. Some people didn't take it very seriously. And the enemy hit them really hard. These things are real things. We were even, look at how it is when people are even warned. How much more those? That's why I pity people that don't have prophetic sight. What happens when you have no warning? You become toothpicks for the enemy. All right, but what was the doorway that allowed the arrows come through? So one of them was carelessness. What was the other? Disobedience, that you're told to do things. You're a leader here. Note this, asterisk this one, and make sure you're not guilty as we pray, when we're going to be praying. Ignorance. What? Ignorance. Ignorance is not knowing, Abi. Abi, God shouldn't care. You didn't know now. No, that you didn't know is a problem. That means a leader was ignorant. He didn't know what was happening with his sheep. There are two ways you may not know what's happening with your sheep. And everyone here, I am sharing these things. I could have called a leader's meeting only. We could have just gotten the leaders and repented. But I'm giving you something that you can use and even talk to your leaders. And say, excuse me, Pastor mine, why are you careless about me? Or Pastor mine, I asked you a question, you don't know the answer. Neither have you bothered to find out the answer to answer me. Are you ignorant? When there is ignorance, official ignorance, it results in harm to God's people. Never take pride in not knowing. What should a leader know more than others? He should know the word of God more than others. He should be able to teach it. The Bible says you should be able to teach others. And I hope you know, based on what I was sharing yesterday about this house. Remember when I talked about the army? I hope you know you can't be in the army and not end up being a leader. That everyone that goes on to become part of God's army is going to be a leader. One soldier can lead a whole village to safety. I hope you know. No matter how small, lowly that soldier is. Once you have training others don't have. So automatically, a soldier is a leader. He's been taught how to manage certain things. Another thing is false confidence. False confidence. Where this person has a confidence that is unwise. Did you hear the vision about the demon? Did we read that? Did you hear the first vision? One of the first visions I read when we sat here, about that demon that was dancing around someone with a bucket of disgusting slop and was dancing around and was throwing it around the person. The person kept standing there like, acting confidently. That thing can't come near me. Acting like You dare not. Let me see what you think of it. Till finally, that demon poured the whole mess on top of the person because of foolish confidence that doesn't make sense. Standing there, fight, armor you don't have, covering you didn't carry, fight, you know, sabi fight. You see a demon dancing around you, throwing temptation around you, scattering lust around you, and then you keep doing like, you can't come near me. Me, I can't fall. I can never fall. Me, don't worry. I have confidence in you. Oh, I have confidence in you. What's that word? Every time, anywhere, I have confidence in you. Bible, you know, I read. Yeah, I have confidence in you. You know, they pray. Oh, I have confidence. Morning prayer. Why? I'm sleeping. Yeah, I have confidence. You go to church. Not today. I am the church. Yeah. I have confidence in you. What's this? Who is this person with you? Don't worry. I have confidence in me. You might as well just say me at once, because that's the honest thing. It cannot be God you have confidence in. If you have confidence in God, you will know that he said you have to keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was in front of him endured shame and pain. You're not enduring anything. I have confidence. Don't sing the song. So an angel will not slap you. Don't sing the song. You cannot have that kind of confidence. That is not confidence. That is abuse of privilege. I hope you understand this. You can't have every time, anywhere. Blah. You only have confidence in him if you hold on to your assurance. The original confidence you had was by looking at Jesus. Yes, Lord, what should I do? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's how you have confidence. The other one is not confidence. It's high-level foolishness. Don't call it confidence. Okay, let me finish this. But I want you to remember that earlier vision. I hope you never forget that vision. That demon was dancing around, acting as though it was playing. And it was scattering. I suspect a major thing that thing represented was lust. Throwing a little lust here. Throwing, you heard what I said about social media on Sunday. Throwing it around. Silly risks. Someone sends you a message saying, you are the sun in my sky. You are the moon in my night sky. You are the stars behind the moon in my night sky. You are my crescent moon. If you want someone to write sweet nothings to you, I'll post my account number. Send me 1,000 naira. I'll send you 3 lines. 4. You can sell it for 10,000. You want to hear rubbish. You think it's hard. I can give you for free. You can put something on the agenda of our meetings and say, when the pastor gives out free nothing, you go, you make that sound like that cat that has a cough. A cat with a cold. Or if you're more close to the ground, like in a proper Nigerian, you're the only cockroach in my cupboard. Opener to my Fanta. You ever heard that one? Someone should say, the only lice in my hair. See, when the devil starts sprinkling those things around you, you're getting ready to enter trouble. Don't allow him sprinkle these things around you. Don't allow him. And that's how the person kept standing there, not running, not moving. You read. Then the demon poured the whole bucket, and the person was covered. Spiritually, that's what happens when you fall into sin. It's disgusting. In your mind, you're like, in the spirit realm, you just got a poo bath. Now you're filthy. Then he said that demon started coming towards like, yay, as he was playing. Then as he got near the person, its face was all business. It wasn't playing with you. Have you heard me say, the devil is not playing with you? He now went serious. Because he wants to, there's only one thing the thief comes to do. Three things, one of three things. Either to steal, kill, or destroy. It's either stealing your peace, stealing your, just stealing something, your joy, stealing your rest, stealing your destiny, or it's killing it. or it's destroying it, wrecking it, annihilating it, obliterating it, just removing it from existence. You know what dies can be raised again. You know if it kills it, it may be raised. You know if it's stolen, it may be restored. But when it's destroyed, and that's why some people get it back. Some people have it raised. Some people lose it forever. Don't let the devil play around you. He's not playing with you. Put on the whole armor of God that you might stand against him in the evil day. Don't let him dance, because this demon is acting funny, like it's a funny demon, like it's a friendly spirit. And you're playing with fire, hoping he won't burn me. He won't burn me. No, this is just someone that I've known. This person is not really. No, she's a nice girl. You know, it's nothing like that. Oh. Nah, bah, we can even sit down on the same bed. If you know how many times I've heard that story. Yeah, okay, sit down on the same place. Nothing. You know, someone was sharing me, but this one is a good story. How the person, you know, this same person that in the time past, in years past, many people will be there. They will just fall asleep. Male, female, on the same bed. Nothing. Years later. It's like we shouldn't even be in the same room. Someone can't control himself. Because the devil is in me. I've been sprinkling it around since. Nothing happened. When the day comes, he'll jump on you. So you cannot allow the devil play around you. Don't play with the devil. It has been said. I'm waiting for two or three or four people to give testimonies about these things. Or maybe on Sunday, right now, send in your application to share testimony. This is, when I say these things, I'm unable to even use it properly. I have to pull up a story from years ago. I have stories. It's just that I like telling recent stories, but I have plenty old ones from 15, 20 years ago. I can pull up and use. That's what I'll do. So nobody here, like I keep saying in these last few days. So you don't think I'm talking about you. If I want to talk about this house, maybe I have 15 or 20 here now. But I don't want anyone thinking. So I can tell a composite, mixed, cut pieces from the 20 different stories. But even not from this house. Many. And I'll hear someone say, no, nothing. I've told you a story. That guy said he got born again. This is the same girl he was living with, sleeping with. Got born again. We led him to Christ. Where is he now? He's dead. What happened? I don't know. All I found out that by the time God told me, gave me a burden for him, and I was crying, and I found out later that he had been in the hospital for weeks. I went and saw him. He looked like a skeleton with flesh. He died. But it was too late, because by the time I found out, after he had gotten born again, that he was still living with his girlfriend, sleeping on the same bed. And I was asking the cousin, I don't understand, how did they sleep on the same bed? Explain to me how they do it. So I'm still, I wasn't this bold. I was younger. If it's not, you have explained to me how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Are you made from stone? That guy, I'm not saying that's why that opened the door. I think his family had spiritual attacks. Okay? His younger brother died. That's part of why he even got born again. He was afraid. But he should have followed God now. He was still living in sin, thinking you can combine light and darkness. The devil is like, yippee! Thank you for letting me in. And took him out. When I went to see him in the hospital, he was in a coma. Wasted away. I'm sure, if you're not careful, maybe it's all these things they call bone cancer or something. I don't know. Or cancer of the blood. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't know the name then. I don't know it now. All I know is that the speed with which he killed him was very serious. But you have to open the door to Satan sometimes for his power to work. God could have healed him. God has healed people of greater things. Let me finish the list here. Another thing that the leaders were suffering from, apart from false confidence, is timidity and fear of man. Timidity and fear of man. I would bundle them together. These were the different things that allowed the arrows of lust, sexual immorality, and pride to hit their target. Because these things were there. So simply, what is God saying we should do? When we are going to be praying, I hope you've written it down so that we won't have to call them one by one. So when you get down on your face to pray, you're going to be able to say, Father, forgive me for the sin of carelessness. Know what it means to be careless? To be careless. What? Please, I wanted to be free. This is what I feel like wearing. Sister, they created man from mud. They created you from a rib. The word for man is form. What for woman is make. You understand the difference between forming something and making it? I picture mud, prop. Man shall become man. Woman, let's take time here. You don't need to try to be a distraction. You tend to be, by default. You're dangerous without trying. Therefore, you have to go out of your way to not be careless in how you act, how you dress, how you behave, how you even laugh, even how you hug. I mean, with women, it's so bad that women fall in love with women. Okay, I know you say, but men, they do too. They have demons. All right, but I know there's a spiritual dimension. But speaking general, you have to not be careless. Carelessness was an opening. Carelessness. Not caring. Acting recklessly. Being too... Hey, I just like being free. Don't lean against anybody anyhow. I remember being in university, sitting down like this outside. It's years later, you know, I was a bit innocent. It's years later that I thought about it. Maybe it wasn't a mistake. Oh. That's why it's not every time it's the guys. Girls. Hey. And I'm not saying the girl was a sister. But we were classmates. She used to, her best friend was were Christians. I don't know. I don't know, sir. And we are sitting on the bench in front of, what's that place? ACB. Do they still call it ACB? Not ACB. That place where, how do I describe it? That circle, that place near economics. I don't know where things have moved to, but there used to be that place on the way to student affairs on the right. Convoke Park. That's it. I think so. That axis. And we were there for some class, maybe sociology or something, and seated there, three of us or four, maybe waiting for some class, I think so. Some lecturer or something, or maybe they're doing typing something, I don't know. And she's kneeling down on the seat behind me. And she's leaning into me like all my back is a human being. And well, God was helping me in my life generally. I was living a pure life. My mind was generally pure and all that. But there's this carelessness which you don't do. Remember what I said the other time, how I was in a situation, a hog type situation, and after I've left there, no thoughts in my mind, then later on in my room or something, then the just like your ears hear something and remember, or your eyes see something and remember, your skin feels something and remembers, all your gates have the ability to recall. Are you hearing me? So you may be 100% innocent. You may be 100% sincere. You may be 100% unintentional in what you are doing. That does not mean that your actions do not have a ripple effect, that it won't replay in someone's mind. And people are at different places. As you keep fighting, as you keep standing and growing in God and fighting and obeying, you can have shields that reduce where you even are in situations that would have caused trouble for you before, and you're in that same situation and it doesn't. I know. That's why I encourage everybody, aim to grow up to that. But it doesn't come by falling up and down. It comes by standing. So a time comes, the same situation, you don't even, that replay is like, what happens is that you destroy the tape player. With time, you destroyed it. There's nothing to replay. Are you understanding me? Guys, say, good. Even girls, a time can come where it seems that recall ability is removed for something. I've been helped by God to overcome some things. But if they say getting there is tap, is a lie. It takes time. Perseverance, resistance, you keep fighting, you keep standing, you keep resisting, you keep obeying, and then your eyes can see things and it deletes immediately. It doesn't even register. Your ears can hear things. It doesn't stand. Your mind, so I'm just remembering that. But I'm saying carelessness. Sometimes sisters can be very careless like that. Very reckless. And they are being all sisterly. Remember, yes, while they are your brother and sister in the Lord, is not the same mother, eh? And the father is even the one in heaven, eh? He's the father of spirits. Okay, so please, there's a way you can be with your pure biological brother that you grew up with, and even those ones with this evil world is not 100% safe. With time, I mean, if you grow up, if you didn't grow up with that brother or sister, it's easier if you grow up with, but with time, okay, the reality has shown, real life has shown multiple times that there's potential for grace. If someone is exposing their minds to lust all the time, watching rubbish and all the time, they can look upon their own sibling and lust. So, we must understand this and don't be careless. I've just stressed carelessness. When we are going to repent, repent. When we talk about dressing here, we barely talk about dressing. You look around, you think we have never said anything about dressing. So we have. It would have been far worse than what you're saying. 1,000 times worse. But when we say, don't show cleavage, eh? Raise it, make adjustments, go and tack it, go and let them loosen it here, raise it and sew it again. Is it that hard? Good, it's not hard. Just take it, loosen here, pull it up, let it come higher, tighten it. That's all. All over this place, people should have done that. I know some have, but some are still new. I'm repeating it. You have to get the messages. I think some days ago, we are finding some of those messages from June, July. So we are going to make them available. Maybe we'll cut them in clips, post them on the classroom, or you will be able to collect it and go and listen. They burn it out on a CD. Listen to it. Play it on your phone. Hear it. Even revelations that God gave us about dressing, about things. What you're wearing. You wear certain things. Wear certain things under. Wear tights. Wear things. Cover up for the sake of God's sons and daughters. Don't say no. You want your skirt, your dresses, your gowns. Make them long. Don't mock the people that wear long dresses. Don't ever mock them. Or someday you really regret it. They are far more sensible than you. That is when you're shorting, with the risk of exposing your underwear and all that and creating terrible loss. People have shared openly about how they've been in church and left and gone back and lusted deeply because of what they saw in church. I remember someone telling me in Owerri nearly a long time ago, many years ago, how he got born again and ran to church, and in church, oh, there are the things he saw. He fell back to his old life. And he pointed out that it was in church that he died spiritually. What kind of thing is that? That I was trying to preach to him. He was a barber, handsome guy, nice guy, cool guy. You know? And we were gisting while he was cutting my hair. You know? And he went on to say, you know, that I got born again. I went to church. The things I saw. I'll sit in church. The things are... Simply, as he was gisting me, he was spiritually dead. He hadn't stood up. He was trying to tell me that what's the use? And why would I want to be the one that is that careless? No, me, I didn't have any bad thoughts. Yes, you didn't have a bad thought. You just kept the gas cooker on with matches close by. You didn't have any bad thought. You just left a sharp knife around 2-3-year-old children. And one stabbed the other one. Sliced it on the neck. Took the knife and said, and this one dragged. Give me. And this one dragged blood. And hit the jugular, poof, and blood went, purr. And this one went, maybe hit him again, Does he understand blood? What is blood? He may even touch it, red color. It looks like sweet, I hope you have a nightmare. What do they understand? No, I didn't intend, I just left that knife there. No, you should have taken note of who was there when you left the knife there. You should have taken note. You couldn't have just left the knife there. I wasn't thinking any bad thing. That's the problem. You must think. Everybody, look at me. How do you overcome carelessness? Say it loudly. Again. One more time. How to overcome carelessness is by thinking. Think about what you are doing. I am going to buy this cloth. I am going to be wearing it. When I wear it, how will it look? How will people see me? Will I only stand straight with this cloth, or will I ever have to bend over? When I wear this cloth, will I have superpowers that nothing can fall from my hand? Or magnetic ability, anything I want, I will point. and it will jump into my hands. Come on, walk with me. That's how I know in the world to come, you may be able to wear certain things you can't even wear now, because you may not need to ever bend over. This coat I am wearing, will I ever need to sit down with it? Or am I superhuman and I will be standing for the rest of the day whenever I wear it? Does it have anti-sit properties? Or when I sit, will that skirt ride up my thighs? You must think, will I bend over with this cloth or with this blouse? There is no bending. Will this blouse possibly lift and expose these jeans I'm wearing? Is it so low that things that must not be seen may be seen? Or is it up here? This is what is in vogue. This thing that is in vogue, is it pleasing to God? Or will human beings pass? Those of you that travel by bus, hey, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy on me. Have you heard that song before? Have you ever heard that song playing by the angels? That is, you're in a situation and the song just starts singing. You bought this clothes. Did you consider you will sit down in a bus and that the lower part of a bus is open and that we are going to drive for the next 9 hours? No, I just bought now. Was there any long top in that place? Could you have worn, at least some people wear that, you know, and it's all of the inside. I don't know what it is, but all I know is tucked in and it's maybe the swimsuit kind of thing under. Or did you consider, has anybody here, if what I'm about to say, you have ever seen it before? Have you ever seen someone sit there and half of everything is out? Have you ever wondered, I don't understand. What are you thinking? Are you not feeling air? Are you not feeling air? And we are going to Lagos, we are still in Aba. Then sometimes something falls on the bus floor and you peek again. Then you act like you didn't know. You can't bring out one of your shirts and tie. You can't. I won't tell you the thoughts I have thought. They have not been evil thoughts. They have been good thoughts. Some of them involve dart guns. So you just knock you out. So we can keep you on the floor of that bus and cover you, wake you up when we get to Abuja or something. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Say no, that's how the cloth is. You know, you can't find that. That's the only kind of jeans you find in the market. You liar. That's not the only kind of jeans you find in the market. It's a lie. And even if that's the only kind, just wear something that covers all of that. Of that's all. Then wear it, no problem. Buy a long top and say no, they wear it with t-shirt. This is how the people on TV look. Didn't you notice in TV they were standing? Stand up in this bus. Okay, do you understand what carelessness is? Carelessness is when you don't think, you don't care, you just do. Don't just do. You must care. In this world, you're surrounded by people. You must care. I'm sure you understand this. Yes, disobedience is when you're told something and you don't do it. We have had many casualties. Not life, not physically, thank God. But spiritually, we have had people hurt, damaged, stumble seriously because of disobedience. Don't open this door. You opened. I just wanted to see. It's not like that. I just wanted to see. And you opened and a scorpion came out and bit your foot. Now we are in the intensive care unit of the hospital. Some people don't even say sorry. Most people don't even agree that thing happened because of their disobedience. Most people don't agree. Some very major things have happened in people's lives, and the people it happened to don't still know why it happened. Blindness, an evil thing. You must know why. You have to care as to why you are going through what you're going through. And how will you know? Ask God. God, why did this thing happen? Some of you want prophetic words. When you come for prophetic words and you're trying to tell them, please, can you ask God for this? If ever that you have the chance, tell them, please, can you ask about this thing that happened to me? You'll be shocked that God will say, it was because of this thing you did. I told you not to do it. Have you read your Bible and found out that most things that happened to people was because of something? So why do we think it changed, that God is no longer like that? The wages of sin is... So don't act like no, that things that happen are never wages. Many times they are wages. Another thing, so that's disobedience. Another thing is what? Ignorance. How do you counter ignorance? Sorry, how do you counter disobedience? By obeying. What did Adam and Eve do? I thought they attacked God with a club. Did they steal someone's thing? What did Adam sleep with Eve when they said don't touch her? What did they do? What, how? They ate a fruit. Is eating a sin? So why did they chase them out? Because they ate it in disobedience. The instruction was don't eat. And they ate. There's something like this. Disobedience is the most dreadful sin there is. People keep, oh God, house of light, fear disobedience almost more than anything. I was talking about accountability and shepherds. You have someone that has been given to, for you to, if you're here and you want, you know, maybe you're new, we help to midwife you. So we feel responsible for you. So we assign nurses, shepherds, take care of this one. And some people go, no, I don't want to be taken care of. I don't want to be midwife. They don't say it directly. They just act like, leave me alone. Everything is like, it's almost like this attitude of, come here. I've told the shepherds, grab them by the neck. Let them look at you straight and say, leave me alone. Leave me. My life is my life. Let them use their mouth and say, other than that, say, come here. Sit down here. Open your Bible. Read this place one. Read this place two. Read this place three. Do you see what it says? What does it say? If they carry your head like this, I won't answer you. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't worry. Just wait small. Because someone will come. I've been trying to look for you. Now I'm busy. I'm very busy now. I have exams. Now we don't have one level of leadership. We have another level. So some of the things you're doing younger, most of them will be gone. You close your eyes and open. Everything we are supposed to learn from them, they'll be gone. Some of you doing younger, like I'm just warming up. Don't worry. I'm going to get serious soon. Then I'm going to, you're joking. In a few months, you better grab and learn. There are other levels of leadership, which in turn, you know, are coming. But use what you have. Don't be proud. All these people that look for people on phone, a human being in front of you and a human being on the phone are not the same. On the phone, has anyone hugged you on the phone before? I don't know, is that small smiley with two hands like this? Is that a hug? Sorry, can someone tell me I'm serious? Help me. I've been helping you since. Help me. That smiley with two hands like this, is that meant to be a hug? What is it meant to be? A hug? Oh, that's a hug. Because I've been trying to hug people online since. I never know what to use. So if that's a hug, I'll start hugging you guys. Whole lot. I've scrolled through that thing looking for when I'm missing people far away. And I'm like, how do I send someone in Lagos a hug or this thing? I've never found. I thought there would be something that goes like this or something. I don't know. I don't know if they couldn't do better. So if you prefer that small thing with broken hands to a human being putting their arms around you and praying for you, do younger. When they are around you, talking to you, trying to this thing, saying, come, hey, what's happening? Nothing. You think they are tricking you to marry you? You don't know who to tell nothing. You tell the man, the ones you tell nothing. Don't do it, though. That is very annoying. But, some women, they do that thing before marriage. They keep doing it. Then after marriage, they think it's the same. Before marriage, the man will keep saying, what? What, honey? What? What? After marriage, nothing. Okay. Women, they are like, oh, well, I don't have one chance. They want the man to keep. Men, I'm not saying it's good, though. Me, I'm trying to repent with my wife. You're meant to keep asking. You're meant to keep asking. They want you to check them till they die. You thought it's to marry. Men, let me just warn you, in case you don't want to marry. If you think women, just after, okay, it's just for marriage, it's a lie. Guys, I should take special offering for this one. If you like, be there thinking, after they marry, they want you to keep behaving how you did before you marry them. Did you know? It's a most terrible thing. God will forgive us and them. Amen. So, we are going to have to pray. We are going to have to go into the face of God. We are going to have to ask the Lord to show us mercy and to forgive us. Disobedience is countered by obedience. Ignorance is countered by what? Knowledge. So, leader, get knowledge. When you're repenting, how do you get knowledge? Sorry, what's the major thing you exchange for knowledge? Good people. Time. What happens when you refuse to give your time? You want to spend it watching movies. You want to spend it playing around. You want to spend it gisting. You want to spend it sleeping. You want to spend it playing a game. What did I advise you about games on your phone? What else you should do with them? Delete them. Delete. Don't say I won't play. Delete. Get it out. Let it not exist anymore. So you can't even be tempted. I'm not playing. Whether it's Temple Run, that thing where a demon chases you. How can it be something happens to you when you sleep? Then you are awake. You continue what happened, used to happen to you when you used to sleep. And so then they chase you. Look at that demon. The way you bring your childhood nightmares into your waking hours. Were you not scared enough? Stop running. Don't do those things. I told you, the candy that crushes, the other one. Don't do that thing. They must have boiled it and cooked it in a very bad part of hell. Even if it's human beings that came out with it, I agree. But hell is happy. Or let me say Satan is very happy at the existence of Candy Crush. And you're just a very innocent. Trang, quang. 4 hours. Someone tell me, average, the people that played, how many hours a day? Five. These are people that will come to church and say, how can they sit down for 3 hours? Then they'll be chang, chang, chang. For 4 to 5 hours, you're finished. Now, so take all that time and come and spend it in God's lighthouse. Before you stand up, your spirit is muscular. Don't do God's lighthouse and also do Candy Crush. No. Take Candy Crush time. You know when you want to know that you haven't given God any of your time here? It's very easy. Go and look at all the things. See, let me tell you the people that struggle with coming here. The people that have small issues. The ones that don't have many issues are the ones that they've thrown away many of the things that used to take their time. And they realize that those things used to take 6, 7, 8 hours of their day. They realize that thing took more time. And they are not discussing reading. Distractions. Games. Clubs. Rubbish. People that don't lack money running around doing things to make money. But they have all the money they need. And so on and so forth. That is what they used to do. And then God now says, take that time and give it to me. And they say, no, let me look for one place and give God 1.5 hours. Then they go back to their, you have to, when you come here, you won't have time for the other one. The only other time you have time for 3 things, sleeping, reading, or going to class and church. That's all. So you don't, but if you try to still add those other things, it will now seem, you are taking too long. No. You are not taking any time compared to the time you used to give to waste and the devil. Have you heard me? Go and do the math for yourself. Go and do the math. Go and calculate it. Put it down. Okay. So let me finish reading. What else? Pride. What is the countermeasure to pride? The countermeasure to pride is humility. So how do you act when you want to overcome pride? Is humility easy? Humility is hard. Humility is very hard. Do you understand pictorially what humility is? Pictorially, humility is when instead of walking on your legs, you walk on your knees. Humility is hard. Humility is, this is pride. Yes. Humility is, yes. It's a different, it's a lowering. And what was the thing that the leaders did here that allowed the arrows attack? It was pride. And you're busy thinking, how can I beg this person that I helped cast demons out of? And I'm begging you again to come to church. What's wrong with you? And I understand the feeling. You heard what I was saying earlier on. In a sense, I was joking. All right, I actually tell the leaders, you go and talk to them. Open this thing and read. And they do like, I tell them, be patient. I was talking to Elias today. And I say, if you're not ready to spend 2 to 3 hours with someone, you haven't yet understood. Do you know what it is to take 2 to 3 hours from someone's life? Some of you don't have any concept of time. You don't understand. Do you know what it is to take hours, just an hour, from someone's life who has many things to do? That's why people take things for granted. You don't comprehend. No comprende. You don't understand that someone gave you 30 minutes of their time. I don't know if anyone, okay, a few people here may have worked. Have you worked? Have you been in the business world? The world of business. Where you walk into someone's office. Hello, Mr. And you sit down and you're talking. Every minute counts. You hit the point. Ta, ta, ta. You say what? Your brain has to be working like electricity. They say you answer. You're thinking. You don't. No, you're not acting like, we have hours. We have the rest of our life. Before you know, okay, thank you very much. Off you go. Because people are busy. People have plenty things stacked up to do. Then someone takes that time, whether it's a student like you, whether it's a working man, whether it's whatever kind of person, and gives you that time, says, it's my time. I could have used it to sleep. I could have used it to learn some things, study some things, do some major things that will earn me money. But I give it to you. 2 hours of my time, three. And you take it and squander it. You play with time. You use it like bubbles. You throw away the time. That's what I meant when I was saying there are people around you. Don't play with time. But I am saying that I was telling the leaders, no, you have to be willing. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Even with someone who owes you so much, you've already put so much in their life. Humble yourself and give them your time. That's humility. But pride will allow arrows coming that you couldn't sit with them, that you couldn't sit with someone and listen to them. Just keep talking, and they just kept talking, and you kept listening, and you're remembering, oh God, I have an assignment. Oh, I know it's hard, and it's humbling, especially, I don't know if you've had someone talk to you about something you told them not to do, and they disobeyed you completely, and fell into a deep gutter. Now you are here, you have to pull them out, and you're there talking to them, listening to them for a very long time, trying to walk through the issues, help them. It's humbling. So, if you are not willing, but sometimes, if you would have listened to them and spent the time, the arrows would have not come through and hit them. You'd have been able to warn them properly. You'd have been able to protect them. You'd have sealed the hole in the umbrella. They would have talked to you and you'd have known, you may have a lost issue. And you'd have taken time to know what to tell them to prepare them for the attack. But you didn't. You didn't. Listen to them. They spoke to you and you just say, okay, pray about it. Bye. How are you doing? You can't do it that way. Another thing. What was the next thing? So humility is needed. Every one of us, you need to be humble. And God will keep you from being hurt by attacks. What? False confidence. I've already talked about it. Don't have false confidence. There's something like godly confidence. This is a confidence that you have in what God has told you. Many years ago, not that long, 10 years ago to be exact. No, it's almost 11 now. I was on my way to Lagos for something to do, some program, University of Lagos. As I was on the way there, in the bus, God spoke to me. I opened my Bible and God spoke to me. I mean, the words, he just spoke and said, I will be with you from this time forth in your going and coming. The sun shall not smite by day. And it was so real. It's not many times God has spoken to me like this, okay? So don't think, when I say God spoke, I don't mean I just read a Bible verse. It's not like that. Mm-mm. Even though I was looking at a Bible, it was God speaking. You will know it's direct because I answered, I smiled. It's a full reaction. I went like, it was like talking. It was like someone just talked to me. I knew. He just spoke immediately and I answered. I don't know if it was in my heart or if my mouth said it. And I went like, me? Lord, you know I don't like moving around. Even when I was in Unuyo, my parents lived in Uyo. I would leave the house for a semester. So how much more Lagos? I'll be coming and going. How? If you know how God is, you ask him those kinds of things, he won't answer you. Answer you for what? You foolish child. What is he answering you for? You don't know anything. Oh, but I understood. In a few months, I understood. That was August or so. By November or so, I came back. By the next year, there came a time I would fly into Lagos in the morning, Saturday like this, especially Saturday, leave Uyo by 5 a.m. and fly, land in Lagos by 7. There was no airport in Akwa Ibom State, so I'll go through Calabar Airport, 7 a.m. we are there. By 8 o'clock, we're in Lagos. Grab a taxi straight to Unilag. Attend a class. Head back. 6 o'clock. I've landed in Lagos, Calabar. Yeah, about 4, 5. I'm in year 6, 7. You wouldn't know anything. I mean, I literally flew for classes. Now, when God told me that at the end of the year in 2-6, I'll be in your going and coming, I had no clue. For the next year or nearly two of my life, I did enough traveling. And I can't remember. I'm trying to remember now. Maybe that was the last time I used a bus. And I would go, come. I couldn't believe it, how many times I traveled in that short time. But God knew that when he told me, you, I go there with you for your waka. I had no comprehension. I didn't have any job that could afford such a thing. But within a few months, I mean, my office was covering that cost, going and coming like that. Every 2 weeks, I was going and coming. And sometimes the same day, God knew. So when he was saying, I will go and come. Now, why did I tell the story? What did I call? What was the topic? False confidence, right? So you'd be in the plane and the plane starts doing. You see people trying to become Christians in a hurry. People are afraid. People that look like they feel like confessing their sins or something for no reason. You don't look like a priest, but they feel like confessing. What's my point? I would never be afraid. It doesn't matter what happened. I couldn't be afraid. Going and coming, I couldn't be afraid of an accident. I couldn't be afraid of the plane crashing. Can you understand why God told me then? When I didn't know I would be traveling, when I thought I would travel once, maybe or not at all, over the period of a year and a half or two, I thought that program would last. But God knew I would travel maybe 35 or 40 times. So he told me in advance, you, I'm going to be with you, you're going to come. Nothing will happen to you. Can you understand the confidence now? Not careless, reckless confidence that nothing will happen. As you're going in this bus, then you hear the bus had an accident and everybody died. You brought out one offering like this and gave that man that stood there and prayed. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Banky said, just understand that this bro is hungry. Just give him something to eat. But to go around selling prayers bus by bus is not godly. It's not godly. It's not a godly thing. You can't be selling prayers. Just sell the prayer to everybody. And that's where people that don't go to church give offering. Because they're like, hey, I'm you. Nothing happened. I know they go to church. And God, and hoping like, God, take this bribe. Receive this bribe with thanksgiving. Don't bribe God. God doesn't take bribes. You've heard God is not a Nigerian, right? Doesn't take bribes. Alright, but I'm saying there's a confidence from God. There's a false confidence we may have carried as leaders. You may have carried a false boldness that is not rooted in the word of God. It's rooted in a sense of, I watched something, I heard something, I think something. Don't have that kind of confidence. If you have that kind of confidence, you are not wise. It will disappoint you. Have you heard people say, it's not my portion? Huh? It's never my portion. It's never my portion does not protect you. The people that bad things happen to said it wasn't their portion too. You don't get protected by declaring it's not my portion. That incantation is not strong enough. It has to be backed up by the promise of God. Okay? And then there's timidity and the fear of man. How do you counter timidity? The righteous is as bold as a lion. So you want boldness. It's not just in saying, I'll just be bold. You can't just make yourself bold. You have to walk in righteousness. Walk in the fear of God. Fear God. He will impart a boldness to you. He will impart a boldness to you that you can look at a top religious leader and say, should I fear you or should I fear God? Should I fear you or should I fear God? Do you remember the apostles? Acts chapter 4 verse 19. He said, judge for yourselves whether to obey God or to obey. You tell me which one. Should I obey you? Should I obey God? Alright, so these are some of the things we'll be repenting of. Okay? Now, hear this. I heard that the spots should be quickly sealed up through repentance. How do we seal up those spots? Through repentance. Repentance is a major way we are going to seal the spots. Okay? Repentance is a major way we are going to seal the spots that have come through which the arrows of the enemy strike us. Are you here? That's why we are here. That's what we are going to be doing in a few minutes. We are going to repent. We are going to say, God, forgive us for being careless, for not thinking or understanding that we shouldn't have a false confidence. Some people think the word repent refers to people that need to be born again only. You are very wrong. Repentance should be a part of a Christian's life daily. Continually, you should be in a state of being apologetic for error. I'm not saying every second you walk around with a guilty conscience. No, that's not what I mean. I mean that even if you're the biggest man of God in the world, that if as you were walking, you bumped one of your church members, you should be able to say, I'm sorry. I'm not good. Like, didn't you see me coming? What are you? No, you should be able to apologize. You should be able to be sorry. You should be repentant. You should be human. You should acknowledge that you fall short. The Bible says we all fall short in many ways. You can't act like you've arrived. Nobody has arrived. We are on our way. I'm not saying we are on our way to heaven. I mean we are on our way to maturity, the proper level. We are on our way. In between, we are still great. It's like parents that can't apologize. You should be able to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you should be able to acknowledge, yes, I overreacted, I overdid. You should be able to. You shouldn't be so... How can you act like you know everything? Do you know everything? My children ask me things. I know a lot of things. I've read a lot of things in my life from when I was a child. I read too many things. So my kids ask me things. Daddy this, daddy that. And I answer. And I answer. And sometimes I say, I don't know. I don't feel embarrassed. When you said I don't know enough times, you won't feel embarrassed again. Everybody say, I don't know.
I don't know.
Say it again.
I don't know.
If I look at you and you're not saying, you tell me why, if you know everything. Say it again.
I don't know.
Okay, I thought I would catch somebody here. Did your tongue fall out? Check. Is it still in your mouth? Have you noticed your tongue is intact? Why do we act like we know everything? You don't know everything. Very hard. Merely they say something, you want to have an answer. Who said you know everything? Cool down for Jesus' job. Everything. You don't know everything. Be able to say, I don't know. Some of us, because we love Jesus and you want to tell someone, help someone experience what you experience. When they say anything, you want to go into argumentation mode immediately. Cool down and say, I don't know that one yet. I'll get back to you. Can we see tomorrow? Then run to someone that knows. Please, this issue about Jonah and the well. Is it Jonah that swallowed the well or the well swallowed Jonah? You know, you can do definitions, not just everything. What to know? Listen to me. And they say, yes. The skeletal structure of a well. Shut up. You have nothing to say. I want to confuse everything. Have you read what God said to Job when he showed up? He said, who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge? One of the funniest places for me in the Bible. He said, who is this? That's when Job had been talking with everybody. Then finally, at the end, God showed up. The Bible says God spoke out of the whirlwind. God showed up and said, wait first. Who they talk? Simple in pidgin, that's what God would have said. Who they yarn trash? Yes, that's the pigeon version. Who the yarn trash? Yeah? God said that. No, he didn't say it like that. But this exact. Come on, give me another meaning now. Say your own. Who the yarn trash? Yeah? God showed and said, Job, if I'm like. Job himself answered and said, I have heard of you with the hearing of my ear. Now I've seen with the seeing of my eye. I repent. He said, I cover my mouth. He himself. He didn't just close the mouth. He was covering it. Because he understood that compared to what he was thinking, when God showed up, Job, you don't know anything. Have you read how God answered Job? Did God now start saying, listen to me, Job. That time is because, that's why, have you heard pastors preach? It's because Job was afraid. Because of this. God didn't say any such thing. He asked Job, do you know where the wild donkeys bring forth? Do you know where they hide the rain? Do you know where the hailstones are? Job, do you know? Go and read the whole chapters from chapter 38. He said, he was just asking, do you know? Do you know? Job, what do you know? In other words, Job, you don't know anything. Job, just keep quiet here. The reason why you're suffering, Job, you don't know. Just Job repented. God now said, hey, now pray for those your stupid friends that think they know too. You don't know. Your friends, they don't know. All this talking is I've spent it praying. Come, that angel, give him double. The book of Job ended. And they kept a record for you and I. So you don't open your mouth too wide. You don't know anything. You know small. Thank God for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The one we know, we can speak of confidently. But I'm trying to say that we don't have to act like we know everything. And if only you repent, you learn to say, oh God, I'm sorry. You can sin by mistake. There are different ways. You didn't know. You did. I'm not saying many times we know I'm misbehaving. You still need to repent. You should repent quickly so you don't tempt the Lord your God. And the sealing up process is lifelong. Whenever complacency sets in again, the man begins to weaken and eventually open up again. What that means is this. When you start getting careless about repenting, when you come to a place where you don't care anymore, when you're feeling like I don't care, what I did, it doesn't matter. I don't really feel it. I don't care. You're in a dangerous place. You should care. You should care. The greatest thing to fear is when your heart, when you don't get convicted of sin, when you have done these things that are said, when you've been proud, when you've been careless, when you have not cared for people how you should, when you've not shown kindness, where you've not walked in true confidence, when you've been using your braggadocio. Do you know what false confidence is built on? Your own abilities. I can talk. I can speak English. I know English. I've traveled though. Once your confidence is built on anything except God and His love and His own power and His authority and His unction on your life that He sent you. You know how you have boldness because you know who sent you. That kind of thing. Once it's not built on anything else, built on, do you know where I schooled? Do you know where I'm from? Once it's built on any, that kind of confidence is a false confidence, and it will crumble. Okay, I'm going to read a passage and then we pray. There was a warning that we should not allow the devil use legality to finish us off, because he uses legality. The devil is the worst prosecution lawyer there has ever been. But just understand this, that the devil does accuse people. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that accuses. God is the judge, okay? God is the judge sitting like that. The devil is the one that stands and says, my Lord, this one is guilty of this. Jesus is the defense lawyer that stands and says, my Lord, I died for this one too. Or price has been paid already. Here it is. And shows his blood. So that's how it works. That's how it's meant to work. But what happens when you, how do you get the blood of Jesus applied on your sin? 1 John 1 verse 9 again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. Some people think that means kneeling down every night and say, God, forgive me for anything I've done. It's a lie. That's not repentance. You're planning to do it tomorrow now. What are you saying? No, that prayer did not leave earth. Repentance, when you mean it. When you mean I am sorry and you don't desire or want or intend to do a similar thing anymore. That's when it's repentance. It's not repentance when you have no intention whatsoever of changing your mind. Okay? You can put this there. Jeremiah 9 verse 23. Write down this first. Boasting in our knowledge. In your knowledge. That's a sin. When you boast in your own knowledge, you can just link it to what I said earlier on. Jeremiah 9 verse 23. We're going to read that. And then, did you write unbelief? If you didn't write it now. Unbelief. These were the things God is saying we have to repent of. Unbelief. And then all this, in addition to all those careless leadership, disobedience, ignorance, pride, false confidence, timidity, and fear of man. Okay? I told you yesterday that God showed us I was going to flog people, discipline people, and he would be severe. So people may find things happening in their life that they don't like. Already God had told us from September that he's going to bring judgment on his house. That's on the people of God. I mean Christians, congregations that he would bring. Okay? About a year ago, God told us he was going to bring judgment somewhere. He didn't tell us where. He just told us it would be judgment. It was scary. See, hear me. I'm not trying to scare you in a bad way. I'm trying to scare you in a good way. There's good scary and bad scary. Good scary is when you're afraid of God. Bad scary is when you're afraid of the devil. It was December the 4th. It was a Sunday, I believe. And we were gathered. And God told us he would pull down church buildings. Those were the exact words. In 6 days, I think it's the worst church building disaster in Nigeria. About 200 people died in this year. This actually happened. You heard about it. But the part you may have not heard is the fact that he told us. We're in a meeting like this. I said it. It happened. It really happened. People were cut into two. We said it before it happened. We had it written down before it happened. Can God do terrible things? Have you been told God doesn't do things like that? Then what do we do with the fact that we said it and then it happened? How? So what happened? So God can do these things. And he has done things like this in the past. Can God be very scary? Yes. Don't think anyone is trying to. You haven't heard, as we've said all the things we heard. You hear us say, you go to hell. Are you hearing us talk about hell up and down? No. I'm not speaking about another age. I'm talking about now. God can do terrible things to bring about his righteousness. And he does. He has done it in the past multiple times. He's still the same God. That people don't believe in it doesn't change anything. That people blame something else doesn't change. So when we say we come together like this to repent, we are not, because God has told us, you people, I love you guys. I'm going to flog you guys because you're not obedient enough. We gather and say, God, we know we deserve flogging and we are going to receive the flogging quietly. I will not complain when I'm flogged. But please, can you reduce your hand, the strength behind your hand? That's what we're asking for. We're saying, please don't beat us too hard. Please, show us mercy. I agree, I deserve it. That's all. We are not saying, there may be people here that are not born again. It's a perfect opportunity to get born again. But most of us here are born again. So that's not what we are saying. We are not saying, get born again. We are saying, are you okay? Is all well? This list of things we went through, where are you guilty? Make sure you find it as we are going to pray. That's why I told you to write it down. And say, God, I've been keeping bad company. God, I've been going back to my vomit. God, I've been using my eyes wrongly. God, I've been ignoring the power of your blood. I've been doubting it. God, I have tolerated filthy thoughts. God, I have been lazy. My father, I have been indisciplined with my eyes and my throat. I've allowed my throat, greed, drag me here and there. Because of what you want, you agree to things you should never agree to. Things you should be afraid to agree to. You should be terrified to have agreed. And you agreed because of money. Because of, how could you? That's how Judas sold Jesus. Judas collected money to sell the creator of heaven and earth. That's what greed can do. If someone told Judas, one day you try to buy, you collect money to sell God, he would have said, what kind of talk be that? But you can. Because of greed, he loved money. You're not allowed to love money. Okay? You should not. You cannot be greedy. But many people here have been greedy. What are you going to do today? You're going to repent. Okay? Another thing you're going to do is we'll repent of despising the things God has said to us. We are going to repent of speaking evil. You had this written down. And sometimes you're supposed to speak and you don't speak the truth. You kept quiet. And then other times you open your mouth and you spoke wrong things. Some of you have not discerned the body. You have not recognized what it means to be part of a group of Christians, a proper church group. You don't know how to make use of what you have on your left and right. How to ask for help, for prayer, for explanation. You don't know how to use the body of Christ. Some people use the body in a bad way. There's a good way to relate with the body. It's like using your hand to scratch your head when it itches. That's how to use the body. Please, hand, can you scratch this place? I cannot reach it. Can you scratch here for me? Eyes, can you look for me? What is that? Brain, can you process that information? Mouth, can you speak? When you discern the body, you have a proper relationship with the body of Christ. you become healthy. When you don't discern the body, you act as you're not coordinated. You must learn to discern the body, and you don't hurt the body. Whoever, the Bible says, who yet hated his flesh? Does anyone carry a knife here and stab himself with sanity in place? No. So what happens when you start attacking fellow Christians? What happens when you plan evil against fellow Christians? What does she even think? Always dressing over fine. Does she think she's the only one? And you start speaking against her. She didn't do nothing to you. And you just utter bad words against her. Why would you do that? You are not discerning the body. And the Bible says you are eating and drinking judgment on your head. You know, in this house, I realize, and I know we are still getting there. I'm still learning. Everybody's still learning. We are growing. But many people, you don't understand the power of the table of the Lord. When the Bible says some people die because of it, it's not a joke. You gotta eat of the bread, body and the blood of Jesus. Then you behave anyhow against that body. You're committing suicide by installment. That thing you eat, you think juju has power. You think juju has power. You gotta eat the body of Christ. The Bible says, Jesus didn't say, this is like my body. He said, this is my body. He said, this is my blood. You took it, you imbibed it, and then behaved anyhow against the rest of your body. You're killing yourself. You're not meant to do that. You're never meant to do that. It's very dangerous, you know, because there's no juju that compares to the power of God. Nothing that even comes near to the power of God. All right. And then some people have despised the words they have been given. You know, you've thrown it behind your back, like Psalm 50 says. You've heard the words of God and you threw it behind you. That's you despised it. God doesn't want you doing that. And then also, some have been negligent in hearing. That is, you hear and you don't do. We said this yesterday. You hear and you don't do. And that's one passage I want to read. Read Jeremiah 9:23. This one is about boasting, okay? Boasting in your knowledge. The next point.
Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord.
So there's bad boasting, but there's proper boasting. What should you boast in? Boast in the Lord in what? That you know how God is. And what are the characteristics of God that I want you to boast that you know about? That you know he is loving, but also that he is just. He loves, that's the kindness of God. And justice is severity, where he says, no, the soul that sins shall die. Have you heard that before? It is the one that is guilty that suffers. It's not the one that is innocent. Hey, someone is going to say, but innocent people suffer in this life. That's this life now. No, don't worry. This life is very short. This life is 50, 60, 70, 80, 100. After that, before that, say, you're not happy already. I hope you know it's not nice to be too old, too long. You're not happy. No teeth. You can't eat meat. You're not happy. 100 years, it's over. The real reward is after now. That's when the show begins. This is a dress rehearsal. So God says you should boast that you know his love and you also know his justice. And also what? Finally. And his righteousness. That you know what is the right thing and you do it. He said, if you want to boast, boast in this one. Okay? Praise God. Finally, I think you have unbelief there. These are the things we are to repent about. And we are going to soon begin to pray. You know, but I want to read Luke. Luke chapter 6 verse. We will finish tomorrow. We will see what God wants us to do. And we will pray about that. Specifically, it's not just a matter of 2018. These are matters for your whole life. These are not 2018 matters. These are things that you must continue in. But if you start now, oh, how wonderful. How wonderful it is that you start now. Walk in these things. Don't be a visiting Christian. You are not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. There is no assurance that you abide under his shadow. There is no assurance that an arrow shall not take you by day. There is no assurance of anything because you are not abiding. Don't be a visiting Christian to God's presence. Live in God. God's presence is not when you come to this house. God's presence is when you live in God. You obey him. Okay, let's read it. We are Luke chapter 6. from verse 46 to the end of the chapter, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice," say practice. When you hear God's words, what should you do? Do them. Do them. You put them into practice. "I will show you what they are like." This is Jesus speaking. "Let me show you those that hear and do what I say. This is what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The one who hears my word and does not put them into practice." Did you notice here? He didn't say the one that heard my word and did not pray. The church in Nigeria are experts at praying and making a lot of noise. Did you notice Jesus said, "Those who hear my word and put them into practice"? So when you hear me say repent, I'm not referring to making noise. I mean, did you hear what was in the scriptures and then go out and practice them? Only then are you building your house on what? The rock. What will happen? A torrent will hit you. It hits everyone. But after it hits, there will be the house that is still standing. Then there are people that it will hit. Gone. They will say, "There used to be somebody." They say, "It's no more." "Oh, she used to be a Christian. She's no more." Huh, you haven't heard that one? Because you were not put into practice. It's not till someone dies physically. I keep saying it. I pray that people do not die physically. There's spiritual death. We must learn to stand spiritually. Okay? So, the last verse says, "The one who hears the words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." What are you assured of from this scripture? There's going to be a torrent coming to the life of the obedient and the disobedient Christian, yes? And the only difference is the obedience or the disobedience. It's not the house. Both of them built. The issue is not building, the size of the house, how you appear in front of people, how popular, how powerful you appear. It is what is not seen. Foundations are on top or below. It's the part that is not seen. Are you doing? When you say, are you practicing? Are you working on doing it? Are you doing all you can? Why do we pray? You pray so you receive grace to do. Why do you read your Bible? You read so you know what to do. What do you join a church group for? So you receive encouragement to do. Everything about Christianity, prophecy, is to help you to do. Why do you stop sinning? So you can do God's will. Everything else contributes to your foundation, the doing of the words of Christ, the words of God. And when we do, we will become what He wants us to. Jesus, we look to you. The first prayer I want us to put up to God today. Now listen, everyone here. Some of you are not used to God answering your prayers or listening to you. Some of you don't really have an idea of what it means that does God listen. Some of you think, God can't listen. But you have to understand that the blood of Jesus can get God to listen. Okay? So I want you to avail yourself of the opportunity. I repeat, don't be proud and don't be doubtful. Don't doubt. All things are possible to those who believe. This is not about you. This is about the God who made heaven and earth. He's not afraid of you, remember? So anything He says or does, He will do because He said He is so. I think the greatest thing we should do is appreciate God for the privilege to hear, for the privilege of knowing, hearing these things. If in the process of what happens today, you know you're not born again and you want to be, while all the other prayers are going, at a point I will not be saying anything. You'll just be talking to God. But I'm announcing this ahead of time. If while we are praying, the prayer is going on. I'm going to take some time and pray myself for myself to another. But at some point, I'll be available to pray for some people or the other. And you're wanting to make a decision for God, and you're choosing not to be proud. Pride will kill you. Believe me, pride goes before a fall. Don't be proud. The Bible says, say to the queen mother and the king, come down and sit down on the ground. Don't be proud. That's what the Bible says. Don't be proud. And you're not sure you've been born again and you want to be. I will ask that you come here where I can know and come and stand with you and pray. Other than that, I won't know. Do that. Grab the chance. God has shown us judgment coming even on... people, not one person, has seen people running on the streets and there's bloodshed everywhere. We don't understand many of the things we see. I tell you up front. We see many things. We don't even understand what it means. But if you've learned to hear God, and then someone saw, and people ran into church. Church. Not one person, again, I repeat. As they came into church, there were more dead bodies in the church than outside. Like, church was more scary. And God had, for long, he had been showing us that, what does the Bible say? Judgment begins in the household of God. So don't think it's a joke. God begins to things. He says, you people are the ones that know me. You're the only ones, you carry my name. I'll deal with you first. So why are we repenting? Because we are saying, God, have mercy. We refuse to be proud and keep pointing fingers. We say, no, I agree. I am guilty too of something. I'm supposed to be the light of the world. I am supposed to be an example. And then I am sinning. A discouragement to people, making other people stumble and fall, telling people I'm born again. Then they look at us and we sin with them sometimes. We even contribute. Someone is even trying to follow God. You put leg for him. They can't follow God. I want us to pray and say, Father, thank you for even speaking to us. We don't deserve too much. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace. For the grace that you have given us. We could never repay it. We could never repay it, but from our hearts we'd like to say that we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Jesus, lift your hands, say thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace and love,
for the grace that you have given us.
We say thank you. We deserve much worse punishment than we've ever received. You deserve death. Some of us, many times over, you deserve death. He has not rewarded you according to what you deserve. Tell him thank you. Thank you. Horrible things, terrible things. But somehow, you have shown us mercy. You have shown us kindness. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you, however you wish. It's not a place where you're going to be able to confess sin to anyone. Not now. Some of you need to meet and talk with someone after today. Okay? You're not going to be able to come to anyone and say, I want to confess this, and tell a long story. No time now. But you see that list there. Just some of the things we spend time asking God. God, what? Please, what? What are we guilty of? Why are you saying we deserve a spanking? Why are you saying you're going to discipline us? And this is some of what we got. Even this, I'll acknowledge that we may have done it lazily and have not extracted enough. But at least this is a beginning. I want you to look through that list on your own. No more words in your mouth. However you want to do it, kneel down. However, I would have begged you not to take it lightly. Oh, Jesus. Remember, laziness is one of them. I beg you. Then after a while, you need to pray with someone. Because specifically you're saying, I need to even get born again. Then you come to me and I pray with you. Quietly. Here. But everyone else. Everybody else. You're praying. Find yourself there. Find yourself. If you're guilty of 10, repent. Just say, Father, I acknowledge, I agree I am guilty of this thing. Forgive me. Agree. Don't prove tough. Ask for mercy. He shows mercy to the humble. Lord Jesus, go ahead and pray. Is it online? Bad company. You're a leader. You've been careless and disobedient. Selfishness. Unbelief. I don't believe these things. If you know, you need to make a definite choice. While we keep praying, you may have been born again and you backslidden completely. Come. And you're saying, God, receive me back. You're like a prodigal son. Hallelujah. Kabaradu Sandra. Hallelujah. Father, your promises are true. You said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. We have drawn near in supplication and in repentance and prayer. You said, he who comes to you, you will not chase away. Receive us by the blood. Walk in us to will and do your good pleasure. Be with us in our going and our coming. Lord, as you come, as you continue to come to us, as you respond to our drawing near, give us the grace to stand and receive your ministry in full. Deliver us from fears, deliver us from terrors, deliver us from doubts, deliver us from all the things that will seek to make us run away from your face. Deliver us from distractions, deliver us from the works of the enemy. Surround us, keep us in your love. Our eyes are on you. You are the beginner and the ender of our faith. Without you, we can do nothing. It's not by our might or power, it's by your spirit. We pray for your spirit to rest on us. Going from here continually till tomorrow when we return, rest continually. Don't stop. Let your will be done in us and let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.